Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. You're listening to Ready Radio. I'm Doug, and I'm here in studio today with Amy, and we are going to be talking about food, food products, holiday traditions, and all those things that give you warm, fuzzy feelings running into the Christmas season.
Yes, that's right. Being Thanksgiving, now, Doug, have you eaten the big Thanksgiving dinner yet, or is that later tonight?
That's later tonight. We usually do it around 6 or 7. Unfortunately, my wife has to work this evening, so we're probably going to push it up a little bit, but my turkey has been brining overnight, and I'm about to shove it in the oven when I get out of the studio today, and hopefully it will be tender, juicy, and delicious.
Oh, I bet it will be. If I know you very well, Doug, I'm sure it'll be awesome. Have you ever deep-fried a turkey?
I have, and I managed to do it 3 years consecutively without burning down any houses.
Awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, that's. I think that's probably my... by far favorite way of cooking turkey.
Now, have you deep fried a turkey, Amy?
Oh, yes, okay. Absolutely. It's my favorite.
Do you use an open burner or do you use an electric element?
We use the open burner.
Okay, that's where it gets exciting.
Yes.
I found one that was very nice. It as a self-contained unit, and it had an electric element down in the bottom. Mm. So it took forever to heat up the oil. But the flip side is it wasn't going to ignite on you when you put the turkey in and if it sloshed over.
That's always a upside for sure.
The idea is that you fill it up with water, and then you put the turkey in. You make sure it doesn't overflow, and then you take the water out, and you take the turkey out, and then you put your oil in, and then it'll all be good. But some people get impatient.
Well, as long as you dry it out really well, because let me tell you, there's nothing like spitting oil. If it's all wet, that's always fun.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we're getting ready for a big Thanksgiving meal. We've got all the sides. My favorite side, of course, is sausage stuffing with a little bit of walnuts and apple slices. I'm a big fan of green bean casserole, especially with big, fat, flat pole beans instead of the little French cut ones.
Yep. Yeah, well, let me ask you... you had just said stuffing, so that kind of, I was very interesting, sort of the whole stuffing versus
dressing.
Versus dressing, there it is, yeah. It's kind of a northern-southern kind of a thing.
I have a definitive answer for the difference between stuffing and dressing.
Can't wait to hear this.
Stuffing is stuffed into something. Mm-hmm. Dressing is made on a cooktop.
Ah-ha-ha-ha, there you go.
So I think, and that makes a lot of sense, because most of the dressing you see down here is made out of cornbread, which you'd have to make on a cooktop.
Yes, and that's true. It's really funny, Doug, because I'm a northern, was born in the north, my parents are northern, and sort of with the German descent. And, you know, we live down here in the South now, and I'm married to a good old boy. And let me tell you, when he comes over, our dressing is not correct, apparently. So he has to go and make his own cornbread dressing to go along with our northern stuffing that we don't actually stuff inside the bird. So that's, you know, always fun elbow jabs.
I enjoy cornbread stuffing or dressing, but to me, the ultimate is to take chula bread, which is bread that is very heavily laced with egg yolks. Well, a single loaf of this thing is going to have like a dozen egg yolks in it. And that makes it very, very moist. You take that, you toast it. You cut it into 1/4-inch cubes. You put it in your oven. You toast it so it's all nice and brown. You pull that out. Then you mix it with the egg yolks, or the egg whites, excuse me, a little bit of sautéed celery, sautéed onions, throw some walnuts in there. You sauté the celery and onions in the fat from your Jimmy Dean sausage.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a nice, even flavor. And then some sliced apples. You mix that together with turkey, either drippings or broth, depending on how you're cooking your turkey, and you throw it all together, get it so that it's very moist and wet, and almost like a bread pudding at this point. Put it into the oven, let it bake for about half hour to 45 minutes, and it comes out the consistency of bread pudding, but a savory dish.
Wow, that sounds really good. I'm coming to your house.
You're welcome to come after the show's over.
Well, my family might miss me, so maybe you'll just have to bring me some leftovers.
We'll do.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really kind of interesting. You're talking about favorite recipes. One of the things I thought we'd really talk about today, and for all of our listeners, maybe they're listening for the first time today, welcome for all of you out there. We are Ready Radio, and we talk about emergency preparedness. That's our main focus. And one of the things, we are sponsored by True Prep, and one of the things that, Doug, that we were kind of chit-chatting a little bit about today were recipes, and I thought maybe we could spend a little bit of time looking at maybe some emergency preparedness recipes, because who knows, we might not have a refrigerator in certain situations, or maybe the deep freeze to pull, you know, food out of. Do you have any favorite recipes like that would go along with emergency preparedness?
I think one of the ones that's easy to overlook, most people have some sort of pantry and have canned goods stored up. Now, you can go whole hog and go to the freeze-dried or some of the other options there, like one-year packages, but everybody has cans in their pantry. And I can guarantee you, everybody has green beans, everybody has cream of mushroom soup, and if you don't have Durkee French fried onions, you better go get some, because you can make yourself the quintessential holiday dish using nothing but canned products. Now, obviously, fresh out of your garden is much better, but whether you can them yourself or buy them at Kroger or Publix, having canned stuff in your pantry gives you the ability to make food year-round. And here we go. If you're in an emergency situation, there's nothing like comfort food. You get your green bean casserole in the oven. You make up some instant mashed potatoes. And right there, you've got half of a large family meal of comfort food that's all ready to go and long-term storage.
Yeah, there you go. And there's nothing like comfort food in times of emergencies and things like that. You know, in some of the things, Doug, I look at also is with in emergency preparedness. I know I talk to a lot of people who, you know, they might just kind of prepare for about a week or so in case there's a big snowstorm.
Or ice storm.
Yes, which is even more prevalent here in Atlanta. Keeps the roads, the cars off the road anyway, or keeps them sliding around on that ice. And then I talk to other people who prepare for like a year or so. In a situation like that, let's say that something did happen, maybe to the electrical grid or something along those lines, and it's been a fairly long amount of time that the electricity has been out and things are not normal. You talk about normalcy, and what are your thoughts, Doug, on just kind of traditions and kind of keeping with traditions? Is that something that you and your family would just say, well, yeah, I'm sure it was Thanksgiving, we don't have anything? Well, I mean, what would you do in a situation like that?
Well, I think that you're going to see a lot of holidays fall by the wayside. You're not going to be celebrating Columbus Day anymore if you've been without power for months at a time. But the other thing is accurate calendaring is going to be a harder thing to do. Are you going to know exactly when the 25th of December is? Are you going to know exactly when the third Thursday for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. falls on? Maybe not, and if it's been for a protracted period. But you're going to see the more traditional, and I use that word very particularly, holidays start to pop up. Mm-hmm. Winter solstice, summer solstice, and the equinoxes, because you can't miss them. The days get shorter, and then mm-hmm. you start to see the days get longer, and you know that you've gotten to the point where it's time to celebrate something.
Mm-hmm.
And Christmas falls very close to the winter solstice. We celebrate the 4th of July here in the United States, which is somewhat close to summer solstice. We have Thanksgiving near the equinox in fall, and we have Easter near the equinox in spring. And that is not by coincidence. So I think that those holidays will persist no matter what.
Yeah. So are you going to stock up on some Easter eggs?
Well, you,
just
you
in case.
You don't have to stock up. All you need to do is to be able to get yourself some natural dyes, which you can mm-hmm. make from a variety of vegetable sources. Some sugar beets and red beets mm-hmm. will give you a nice dye to do red food coloring for dyeing a boiled egg. You should have some chickens by this point and be able to store up your eggs and boil them. And Easter eggs are easy. The hard part is those little peeps. My goodness, how am I going to make peeps?
You know, I don't know. You know, I'll have to look at the expiration date to see how long those things will you can store those.
like most marshmallows, sure. they last for doomsday and beyond.
Probably so.
You can make your own marshmallows, though.
Oh, really?
They're corn syrup and corn starch and sugar and gelatin. And when you make them at home, you make them in a cake pan, and they come out square.
Oh, wow. A big square marshmallow.
Big square marshmallow, yeah. So you can, and if you were an expert in working in the medium of gummy, you might be able to hand carve some peeps for the apocalypse.
But yes, well, there you go.
Going back to Thanksgiving, I think that there's an awful lot of things that we should be thankful for, not only in this country, but in our various lives. And that's a holiday that's worth keeping. I mean, there's some holidays that are around now have been so merchandised to the point where it has lost all meaning. But Thanksgiving is tenaciously holding on as the day that we stop and give thanks, even though there are now some stores that are celebrating Black Friday far more than they do Thanksgiving.
Oh, gosh, don't get me started. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's amazing. I can't believe it that the stores are opening up tonight, and where we've always seen them. I mean, now, I don't know. It seems like maybe last year the earliest was about midnight, but this is the first time I remember Black Friday starting on Thanksgiving. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know Walmart's open all day on Thursday, and it's shocking. But we're coming up on a commercial break. I hope everyone's having a good Thanksgiving. Take another peek at that turkey, baste it real quick, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Hey, welcome back. You are here with Doug and Amy on Ready Radio, sponsored by True Prep. And we are talking about food. How appropriate.
I really appreciate everyone tuning in as they're getting their Thanksgiving dinners pulled together last minute and looking around to make sure everything is bubbling along as it should.
Yes, there you go. And we left off, we were just talking about traditions. And one of the things I wanted to share with you were a few traditions of my family. And I sort of alluded to earlier that we're a good northern family. My father actually brought us down in the 70s from Ohio. And we're a big northern Catholic, you know, family. And my mother is full German. My father is Irish Welsh. And so we have... you know, we do things, I don't know, pretty, you know, I guess as far as like the tradition goes with the turkey, and we've only started deep frying turkeys a couple of years ago because we were introduced to it here in the South. But before that, we would always, you know, just throw it in the oven and roast it. But it's really funny, Doug, because we have the exact same foods every single year, and rarely does a new dish get, involved or brought to the table on Thanksgiving. And the same, we do the sweet potatoes the exact same way. We do, just absolutely everything. And traditionally, we have the same silliness. You know, we don't have a lot of fighting in my family, which is one thing I'm extremely thankful, but we have a whole lot of silliness going on, even now that we're adults.
It's interesting that you don't switch up the dishes, because my family is polar opposite. We go for whole new things and try to be extravagant and wild with it every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
My in-laws are more steeped in tradition, but when we start cooking, you know, you'll find macaroni and cheese with smoked gouda and bacon. You'll find a hash brown casserole with five cheeses. Mm-hmm. We'll do last year when we were up in Alaska, we honestly couldn't afford a turkey. They were so frickin' expensive that I was not going to shell out $65 for a frozen 10-pound turkey.
Oh, my.
So instead, we bought the cheaper option and had prime rib.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. I am not joking.
How about that?
We were able to get a prime rib at $5 a pound, but the turkey was $6.50 a pound.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I have the most amazing recipe for prime rib on earth, but that is not our Thanksgiving theme today. So we will eschew the prime rib and talk more about the bird.
Yes, there you go. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that we wanted to touch on a little bit is just having sort of a normalcy, because kind of going back to what our focus of this radio show is, being a Ready Radio and talking about emergency preparedness. There are, you know, there have been times in history where I'm sure that people have been cooking their Thanksgiving without electricity or in the middle of a snowstorm, and I'm sure it might happen again.
I know the Pilgrims had to suffer through it once or twice without electricity. So
yeah, I heard something like that.
But you know, the idea of normalcy, no matter what happens, is extremely important, and that is the cornerstone of what tradition really is. Our traditions are a touchstone where we can look back, like your family, year mm-hmm. to year, but not only year to year, but generation to generation. Mm-hmm. My grandparents celebrated Thanksgiving in the way their grandparents generally celebrated Thanksgiving and back. Mm-hmm. Now, there were some changes. When you start to think about the way Thanksgiving looked during the Great Depression, it was a lot different than the way Thanksgiving looks now. There weren't a lot of people camping out in front of Best Buy hoping for a big TV
right.
during the Great Depression. But even as we progress as a society, we keep these touchstones to remember who we are and what we are. And no matter what happens, even if there isn't a terrible natural disaster or something else that causes us to change again, we need to have these touchstones where we go back and say, we are who we are. We are where we came from. And these holiday traditions do that.
Yeah. And also something, too, I was thinking that it really sort of helps keep your sanity, I would think.
Well, I don't know about you, but most of these holidays make me more insane. You want to talk about the biggest disasters. The biggest disasters I've ever undertaken were in holidays, like the turkey that wasn't thawed on the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and
nice.
Oh, Lord. some of these things that we've tried to do for holidays have really been major disasters. I'd rather deal with zombies.
Oh, no. Well, not me. Well, Doug, do you have any other... You had talked about a couple of your favorite recipes. What about, if we can take a little sidetrack, if you're ready, to maybe look at a few? Because we talked about, of course, we're talking about food, I've got to tell you, I'm getting pretty hungry over here.
Yeah, I'm looking
in
forward.
Anticipation. You know, you talked about a little bit earlier in our first segment, we talked about using canned foods to create different meals. I wanted to share with you one of my favorite canned meals, and it's taco soup. I know this has nothing to do with the traditional Thanksgiving meals, but, I was just wondering, maybe if we could try that tomorrow with all the leftover turkey, but maybe not. The taco soup that I have traditionally made out of the cans, it's all cans, which I absolutely love. It's three cans of different beans, and it is a can of shoepeg corn. There's a can of diced tomatoes with chilies in it, and a little packet of taco seasoning, and a packet of ranch dressing. And you just throw all that together, let it boil, and let me tell you, it's really, really good. A lot of times I'll put some ground beef in there, and I know that True Prep actually carries different meat in cans. It's canned meat. Mm-hmm. I have tried it, and it's pretty good, especially when you put it and mix it together with a bunch of different flavors. The taco soup, you could have it with or without meat, and it's really good.
I'm looking over here at their website, and I see under canned meat the Keystone brand. That's minimally processed. It just has water, salt, and the meat inside the can.
That's it.
And it keeps for 5 to 7 years. Is that right?
I believe that they guarantee it for about 2 years, but yes, it is said that it would last a good 5 to 10 years, and a lot of that is because the acidity level is extremely low. So anytime you're looking at storing canned foods, if the acid level is high, such as in tomatoes, you're not going to have near the amount of shelf life as you would with something that the acidity level is much lower. So as long as you take care of those cans, I know that they also have not just the ground beef, they have some shredded beef, there is pork. There's turkey, there's chicken, and a lot of those are really great to mix into a recipe. And as long as you take care of your canned foods and just keep them cool, dry, dark, with the canned meats, they do have a good long shelf life.
And interesting with the turkey, one of the things that I used to like to make growing up was the stovetop stuffing with broccoli and sliced turkey. And I would use either the sliced turkey from the deli, or I would get these turkey rolls made by Jennie-O, and they were only like $2.50 then for mm-hmm. a whole pound. And you could bake it in about 2.5 hours and have really a Thanksgiving meal whenever you wanted with very little time. I mean, that was one of my favorite things to do in college.
That sounds pretty good.
It was tasty. There's a lot of things that you can make that are long-term storage that don't have to be, meals that come out of a pouch. You can really dress things up. And even things that do come out of the pouch can have just little tidbits added to it. If you make a small herb garden, which you can make and that sits in your windowsill, you can have fresh cilantro to throw into your taco soup. and that might give it just a little bit more flavor that you wouldn't normally have. Or when you make your hamburger helper, if you have a little bit of sliced cheese to throw on top, or if you were to have some Fritos corn chips to break up and place on top to give it a little bit of contrasting texture, all sorts of things you can do to make quick and easy meals a lot more inviting.
Yeah, that's true. And something, Doug, that I don't know if we'd be able to really stock up on sliced cheese for the apocalypse, but True Prep also has canned cheese, and I tried it for the first time. Canned cheese and canned butter and canned ghee also.
What is ghee?
Ghee is butter. But it is like the liquid form of butter, and it's basically like if you've ever, you know how you, if you've ever eaten lobster and they come out with the nice melted butter, it's so, you know, something kind of similar along those lines. But basically they've taken out, is it the whey?
The milk solids?
The milk solids, that's what it is. So they've taken out the milk solids, and the nice thing about ghee is you can use it for baking, you can use it for frying. There's a lot of different ways that you can use it, like you would use an oil. So like cooking oils don't have a very long shelf life, where ghee would have a much longer shelf life.
And isn't it also called clarified butter?
I believe so.
In many recipes, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But the canned butter, so they have the two things. They have the ghee and then they have the canned butter. The canned butter, when you open it up, it looks just like spreadable butter. And it is so stinking good. I've tried it. It's awesome. It's really good. But now the cheese, they have canned cheese also. If you like the processed cheese, sort of like the Kraft Singles or Velveeta. Exactly. You know, it has, I think, I kind of think of it as sort of a thicker consistency of Velveeta, sort of the same sort of flavor. Have you tried it?
I have not tried it. That sounds very interesting, though. It sounds like something you could make for a bechamel sauce for macaroni and cheese. That would be very handy to have on hand.
Yeah, it is. And let me tell you, if it were a situation where you haven't had butter or cheese in a couple of months, let me tell you, if you stock up on that, you could barter the heck out of it.
Yeah, I would imagine. There's nothing quite like having butter for your fresh baked bread, which I think is another thing that we should discuss briefly. One of the cornerstones to my Thanksgiving meal is fresh rolls, and I love to make fresh baked bread at home. I would be happy to give you the recipe right after our next commercial break. Everyone, you're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. We're Ready Radio, and we will be back in just a moment.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back with Ready Radio. I'm Doug. I'm in the studio with Amy, and we are talking Thanksgiving dinner with everybody on this Happy Turkey Day. I hope you're all enjoying the parades and the football games and maybe settling in for a nice big meal or having one later this evening at the in-laws' house. Who knows? But as we're talking about what you can have along with disaster preparedness, one of the more interesting aspects of this entire project is not just the end of the world, but also homesteading and sustainable living and survivability. And one of my pet projects is baking bread. I really enjoy the taste of bread that is made from fresh ground flour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, have you ever ground like the wheat berries yourself to make the flour?
Yes. I have done that for years now.
It is an amazing difference in the taste, isn't it?
It's the same difference between freeze-dried coffee and fresh ground coffee.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize just the amount of nutrients you're losing when you buy already ground flour. The flour, when you first grind it, it not only has amino acids and fats, which are breaking down the moment you start grinding it. Now, they will keep in the berry for centuries. Mm-hmm. There's wheat that they found in the pyramids in Egypt, and the berries are still good after 3,000 years. So the wheat itself is very adept at staying survivable in its native form. But once you grind it, once you crack it open and start to expose that to oxygen, it begins to break down. And you have a very small window. You only have about 12 hours from grinding to really make it into something usable. So you need to grind it and then bake with it. And I was able to purchase one of these Wonder Mill grain mills. I got mine from True Prep. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It made my life a whole lot easier. But it is a 110-powered electric grain mill. You turn it on. It sounds like a vacuum cleaner. You pour 6 cups worth of grain in the top. You get about 4.5 cups out at the bottom. It has a little spigot that goes out to a container where all of your flour gets blown into. When it's done grinding, you leave it go for an extra couple seconds to blow out the grinding wheels so they don't get clogged up, and you can have your flour just that fast from when it was just wheat berries a moment before.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I like to grind my own wheat berries also. I have a Vitamix, but what's on my wish list is I really want one of the big Country Living grain mills that you can hand turn. I'm really excited about getting one of those.
I know this is going to be a little bit out of sequence from our normal program, but it's Thanksgiving. Let's have fun. Why don't you tell us about the Country Living grain mill as the True Prep product of the week.
Dun, 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 dun. The thing I love about this thing, well, first of all, with this Country Living grain mill, this thing is a beast. I mean, it's gorgeous. It looks like something, you know, out of the 1800s, something that you can actually pass down to generations to generations. I mean, this thing is sturdy, and I like it because it has this great big wheel on it, and you could attach a belt if you wanted to, and you could attach that to like a bicycle, pedal away, and instead of hand cranking it, you know, the whole time, you could you know, grind up some wheat berries that way. Or if you had a little generator with a little motor, you could actually attach it to a little motor, and now, it would work that way too.
I want to be real clear here that you can attach it to something that's powered, but you have to be very careful to keep it in the same RPM range, because you
don't want to burn
out your stones or your grinder by running it at a high speed.
Yes, I mean, if this is something that anybody's actually interested in looking into, do your homework, for sure. Yeah, that information is extremely important.
And as I recall, let me look over here, they run about, what, 450?
I believe that's right. Yeah, so right about that range.
Durability is not cheap, but then when you have something that's heirloom quality, you know, what is?
There you go. Yeah.
I am very impressed with all sorts of grain mills, and I'm very glad that we have these options so that people can get more involved in it. I'm lazy. I would rather just flip the switch on the electric one, the Wonder Mill. I know that's offered at True Prep because I got mine there. Woohoo! Thank you guys. But
well, I think we would all kind of prefer just to flip a switch. But I mean, you know, and that kind of goes with everything that's electrical. You know, we are spoiled rotten, Doug. In the world that we live in right now, we are spoiled rotten. I mean, if you look at the Amish and sort of the way that they go about doing things compared to the way that we do things, oh my goodness, let me tell you, we are in for a rude awakening if anything does happen that we lose our electricity.
Well, my plan is, if we lose our electricity, is I'm going to go find it again. I'd rather get into generation and have the ability to flip the switch than to start. I've said for years, if something horrible happens and we're put back in the Stone Age, it's our duty, not only to ourselves but to our children, to pull ourselves back to where we were as quickly as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be living in a cave. I'm going to go out there and find out how to make electricity, generate it so that I can flip a switch and have my bread in 60 seconds or less.
Proactive. I love it. One of the things I wanted to kind of double back and mention to our listeners, you mentioned how long that wheat berries can store, and they can store a very long time. I know that some people like to put flour away and just kind of store flour. There is a significant difference in storing flour versus storing the wheat berry. And if you know, a lot of people that I talk to are not familiar with wheat berries, sort of what they look like, and have never really use them. And the wheat berry, it almost looks like brown rice is sort of what it looks like.
That's a perfect example of what it looks like, and it kind of keeps the same way too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know that a lot of at least people that I talk to that are familiar with them and use them, like myself, one of the ways I like to store my wheat berries is I get a big 5-gallon food grade bucket and put the wheat berries in there. And I've gotten them from a couple different places, like DeKalb Farmers Market carries wheat berries, Whole Foods carries wheat berries. I know that Bread Beckers up in Woodstock, you can get wheat berries from there. And of course, ordering them online. But
Montana Wheat is a very popular distributor online that mm-hmm. ships all over the country, even to the West Coast. And now, of course, shipping is kind of a hazard there because they are heavy.
Right.
A 5-gallon bucket's going to weigh 45 pounds, and if you order four of them, then you've got a pallet's worth. But yes, there are ways to get it no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you take your 5-gallon bucket, just put it full of wheat berries and toss a oxygen absorber in there. I mean, how long will that last? I've heard well over 40 years, or is it indefinite?
That it can be indefinite. 40 years, I usually say 30 when people ask me. I think that's a better benchmark, mm-hmm. and it kind of coincides with the amount of longevity of the number 10 cans from Mountain House or Alpine Air, so you kind of have the same benchmark for all of it. However, I would caution you not to use an oxygen absorber because your wheat is actually alive. Mm-hmm. It's better to purge it with a neutral gas than to destroy the oxygen in there.
Okay.
A small piece of dry ice placed inside of a insulated container placed in the center of the 5-gallon bucket will exude carbon dioxide. As it melts, the carbon dioxide is heavier than the air. It will push the air out of the container. When the carbon dioxide has completely pushed the air out of the container, then you can put a sealed lid on it, and that will keep it much better than an oxygen absorber.
Interesting. You know, I've seen that on YouTube. I've never tried it. That seems like a really great way. Way of doing it.
It is. It's very handy. It gives you the benefits of more long-term storage without depriving the grain quickly of oxygen in a way that an oxygen absorber would.
Yeah. The when you do use the wheat berries and then you grind it up, obviously it would be considered whole wheat, I would assume, whole wheat flour, but there's a huge difference, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, because whole wheat flour does not contain, generally, the bran.
Or the oils, I think.
And mm-hmm. the essential oils, yes. Mm-hmm. The bran aspect of it is really dangerous. When I first started baking bread from grinding my own, you know, fresh baked bread is amazing stuff. It tastes fantastic.
Oh my gosh, honestly, it's like crack.
Yes.
You just can't go back.
And you start eating it, and next thing you know, you've blown through an entire loaf, a 2-pound loaf in no time, because you slather it with some butter and you put some nice raw honey on it, and next thing you know, you've eaten the whole thing.
You gotta stop it. I am so freaking hungry right now.
Then you spend the next 3 days in the bathroom because you've eaten more bran in the last 12 hours than you have in your entire life.
Well, there you go. And if you're stuck eating MREs, maybe that would, you know, kind of sort of, maybe you could eat some bread and things would kind of work out
out between the two of them.
It would even them out.
I recommend that people who are just getting into making their own fresh bread like this to supplement their flour a little bit with store-bought flour and a little bit with their own ground to cut down the amount of bran they're getting. You can generally see the bran on top when you grind it. The bran is lighter, and so the ground-up bran migrates to the top of the container, and you can see these little tiny flecks. You could scoop that off if you wanted to. That would make a great thing to add to oatmeal or whatnot because it gives more fiber, but it is a fantastic way to make homemade bread and gives you so much more nutrients and nutritional value than what you would ever get. And believe it or not, bread is actually, when it's fresh ground, a very good source of protein.
Mm-hmm. It is. Have you ever made pancakes out of your wheat berries?
I sure have. Not only did I make pancakes out of my fresh ground wheat berries, but I used hand-picked blueberries to add into them, and my kids went absolutely crazy. I have that picture still. I will fish out that picture and give it to our web development team and make sure that it is up this afternoon so our viewers can see homemade pancakes with Alaskan berries.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome. What are some other things maybe we could use wheat berries for? I mean, I was thinking sort of, I mean, gosh, it's almost unlimited, right? With muffins and
anything that you would use flour for, mm-hmm. you can use your whole wheat flour and give yourself an added boost of nutritional value. Anything at all that you would use flour for, gravies, anything that requires any kind of pie crusts, pastry shells, anything like that you can use.
Use it for like a thickening agent in soups and things like that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it looks like we are coming upon a commercial break here, so you guys stick with us. You are listening to Ready Radio. We're sponsored by True Prep, and we'll be right back.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
You're back and listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. We are talking turkey today. It is Thanksgiving. We are very grateful to be here with you today and thankful that you're listening in. While you're preparing your meal or settling in to watch a football game or whatever else you have planned on this day for remembrance of everything that we are grateful for in this country. Amy, during the break, was just telling me about a new cooking method that she was going to go into, and I'm just going to throw it right back at her here on the air. And so, Amy, what is a Wonder Box?
Okay. Well, we chit-chatted a little bit over this commercial break, and Doug, I was saying I would love to talk a little bit about ways of cooking. You know, if you have an electric stove and that baby's not working, you know, you need other ways. You need other ways of cooking. And,
other than the deep fat fryer with the open flame that we're going to burn down the house with.
Sure. Yes. I mean, now if you have plenty of propane, God bless you. You know, you go for it. But you know, one of the things I'm so excited about trying, and I want to make. This is on the top of my to-do list. Ever since I found it online, I said, "Oh, that's it. I'm making that. That is so awesome." It's called a Wonder Box. And really what it is, well, before I tell you sort of how it's made, have you ever sat in a beanbag chair?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's sort of basically what it's the little beans from the beanbag chair is sort of the secret behind this Wonder Box. And it is created with like a cotton fabric. And, oh, I wish I had a visual. Why aren't we on TV? Basically, it's sort of a pattern. Okay. So, If you can kind of imagine a box, like a shoebox or something, only larger. Well, you would create that out of fabric that you would put these little beans inside of. So it'd be sort of like poofy. Mm-hmm. And then you would make a lid made out of the same beans. Here's basically why you would do that and how it would work. Let's say you wanted to cook some potatoes. If you were to take potatoes and put them on a grill, about how long would that take?
Guessing about 30 minutes.
Well, it'd be a little bit longer if it's on a grill.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking, well, maybe I just have bigger potatoes than you do, Doug, but mine are going to take about an hour, I think, something along those lines. If you were to boil them, still, you're looking at a large amount of time.
This is where the pressure cooker comes in, because I usually pressure cook all of my spuds, and that only takes about 10 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
It's cooking at a higher temperature and with higher pressure, mm-hmm. so that you don't have to do so much.
Yeah.
And that allows you to do mashed potatoes right when you get home from church on Sunday afternoon.
Hey, there you go. But not only that, I love that because you're not wasting all of your fuel.
Yes.
And that's the thing about this Wonder Box. Basically, the way it works is if you take a pot and you boil it and you have your potatoes on the inside, you bring it to a boiling temperature, you take it off your heating source immediately and put it into your Wonder Box immediately, put that lid on, and you leave it alone. It sort of acts like its own little crock pot. So you've only used about maybe 10 minutes of your fuel to actually bring your water to a boil, and then you take it out, you put it in the Wonder Box, and after about an hour or so, you open it up, and it's completely finished. It's done. It's cooked. It's ready to eat.
That's a very interesting prospect. I had used an All-American Sun Oven before. I baked cookies in it and managed to burn them pretty well. The discrepancies between being able to cook in a regular oven where it's 325 for 15 minutes mm-hmm. compared to a solar oven where it's 280 for 5 minutes and then 350 for 5 minutes and then 290 for 5 minutes.
Oh, my.
Little bit of adjustment in the cooking time for the chocolate chip cookies. But I had used that. It works by focusing the sunlight and kind of trapping it inside like your car does on a nice hot summer Georgia day. And, you know, when you can open the car door and you feel like you're walking into an oven, well, mm-hmm. this thing uses the same principle to actually be an oven. So you can cook your turkey or your bread or whatever you want to in it. And I know that they're very popular, too.
Yeah, so do you have to actually, with the sun ovens, do you have to actually turn it and adjust it or put it toward, or how does that work?
It has an aiming reticle that allows you to position the sun perfectly, and you give it like a 5-degree turn every hour, because that's the amount of the movement of the sun mm-hmm. generally. So you go out there and you give it a little twist here and a twist there, but you may not want it to be directly on the sun, because it may be a very sunny day and you may be getting it up to 375 when you only want like 325 for your cookies.
Good point. What about a cloudy day? Are you able to use it on a cloudy day?
Not as much. My best cloudy day, I got it up to about 240, which is
Not bad.
It's good enough for, you know, if you want to slow bake some ribs, or if you wanted to, you know, purify water by superheating it, kind of like a slow pasteurization process, you can do that. But as for real baking, it just wasn't quite cutting it.
Yeah. Well, it was some of the other, I wanted to kind of touch on some of the other ways that you would be able to cook. And this is kind of going back to, you know, the whole readiness, emergency preparedness, you know, things aren't, you know, like they normally are. You know, one of the things too, I'm thinking outdoor grill. So I'm thinking something happens, I'm probably, the first thing I would probably do is go to my outdoor grill. Do you have a gas grill? What kind of grill do you have?
I am not a propane and propane accessories kind of guy. I believe in charcoal.
I do too. So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm all about the charcoal. It's just that kind of smoky kind of flavor.
As my mom used to tell me, carcinogens are what make it good.
yummy. Yeah. So I know that some people do kind of, you know, that's a great thing to stock up on. Just make sure that those, you know, and heck, I mean, with the weather getting cold, I mean, just making sure that your propane tanks are nice and full if you have propane tanks, or making sure you got plenty of charcoal.
Well,
in your garage.
Can make your own charcoal too. All charcoal is wood that is heated up to a crisp without the presence of oxygen. Uh-huh. So without the presence of oxygen, it won't burn. But if you superheat it, then it chars and it makes coals. Then that's where we get the derivation of the name charcoal.
Mm-hmm. So, sort of like char cloth. Have you seen how to make the char cloth? That was,
no, I haven't.
Yes, that's sort of a little rabbit trail that I just kind of, you know, chased off. Oh, squirrel. But yeah, char cloth, you know, if our you've got to go and pull up char cloth on YouTube, and it's a great fire starter to or it's something to have, you know, for your fire starting.
I'll make sure that we link to that YouTube video on our website, which is, of course, readyradio.net. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to check out past shows or be able to make some suggestions, that's a great place to go. You can also follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. And if you have questions for us, email them to questions@readyradio.net.
There you go. I have a fireplace. I've never, ever cooked in my fireplace. I'm not even sure I can.
Oh, if you have a Dutch oven, mm-hmm. all you have to do is suspend it in the fireplace, and you have an oven now for every baking need you would ever need.
So like the little tripod sort of thing, or what kind of?
You could do a tripod. Real Hearths had a iron bar across for you to hang pots like that over.
I'm not that cool. Mine's more of a modern home. It's kind of a smaller fireplace. I might be able to fit kind of maybe a smaller Dutch oven in there.
Well, some Dutch ovens have handles that you can suspend them from, and you could use a tripod for that. Or it would be very simple to rig up a way of suspending it over the fire, as long as you used proper materials. You know, PVC pipe there is probably not the best idea.
I would imagine not. Yeah, but, and I think it's probably a good idea for me to look into that before the situation comes where I actually need it.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And it's a good skill to practice with, too. You know, the old song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. We are leading into Christmas. I guess mm-hmm. it's time to break out the Christmas music, unlike some other stations that's been playing it since Easter. But
that's right. Black Friday is tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, don't remind me. I have some horror stories from Black Friday, people trampling and me having to climb over the top in order to get the deal of the night. But
what? Oh, you didn't do that, did you?
Oh, me never.
I hope not.
You know me better than that. Running through fire exits, climbing over carts, running down the stairs, holding a shopping cart over my head. Never. Never, I tell you.
That's not what the show is all about.
When one nice thing, though, is that as we get into the gift-giving season, I know True Prep isn't running any Black Friday specials, but they are having a variety of deals and gift-giving ideas that they're promoting for Christmas. And it is a time of year that, you know, we look forward to peace on earth and goodwill towards men. What better peace on earth than the peace of mind you can purchase that your family and loved ones are safe in an emergency? And so I really encourage everybody, as we come into this holiday gift-giving season, stop by True Prep for an Exotac fire starter, or for a volcano stove, or even just for some astronaut ice cream for the kids to play with on Christmas morning. And trust me, you'll love that new vacuum cleaner all the more when they break into the astronaut ice cream.
Yes, the ice cream is True Prep has the ice cream. I guess it's made by Mountain House, and they were stocking stuffers last year. I'm all about emergency preparedness. Obviously, I'm sitting here at a radio station with you, Doug, and I love it. Have a passion for it, and yeah, we had that was a good Christmas stocking stuffer last year, and my family is definitely getting preparedness items for Christmas this year. And the funny thing is, you know, I'll say that some of my family are on board, some of them not so much, and I don't understand why. I'm like, guys.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to get everybody on the same page, but Christmas is a good time to start to introduce them, because you can give gift cards, you can sign up for one of the, I believe there's over 24 classes about to be posted on the True Prep website to start in January, everything from very basic topics to really advanced topics. Folks, this has been just a fun day for us to be here. We're both excited to go home and be with our families now. You've been listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Towns. Enjoy your holiday, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Thursdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.